Hello, welcome to my talk called Push-Based Hypermedia with Datastar. My name is Patrick Marchand. I come from Montreal in Quebec, which is in Canada. I'm fluent in English and French, so you can ask me questions in both languages. I do most of my work in PHP and TypeScript on an OpenBSD laptop. And I work as an independent consultant. So before we start, a few definitions. Multi-page applications, those are the old style of applications on the web where each page is a different address on the web. And you add a little bit of JavaScript here and there just to add a little bit more interactivity. Then we have single-page applications, which is what most of the web has evolved to these days, where you basically were recreating native-style applications in a web context. These typically require you to have two separate applications, your backend and your frontend, that communicate together to be able to display content on the page. Hypermedia is any non-linear media that contains links to other hypermedia documents or non-textual documents like videos and images. HTTP as the engine of application state is a concept where the server is in charge of the state of the client, and more importantly, every future possible interactions that the client can do are indicated by the server in the request. This term has become more popular lately with the rise of HTMX, which is a library for to do dynamically transclude HTML from the server in the page without reloading the page. There's a very good book on hypermedia on the HTMX homepage. I did a similar talk at EuroBSDCon in Dublin called Puffy Does Real-Time Hypermedia. The link is in the page. Now, reactive HTML. It's what primitives do we need to write reactive HTML in a declarative way? We do need the user to be able to input new data, and we need to be able to react to events that happen in the application. We already have that with the web, the browser. It's one thing that makes writing declarative code a lot easier in UI is signals that allow you to only to have parts of the UI that automatically reacts to changes to. And we also need the attributes in our HTML to be able to respond to those changes and update themselves. And we need dynamic transclusions to be able to include new content on the page that that wasn't loaded before. Typically, people do dynamic transclusions with HTMX. And the signals part will be done with alpine.js or another reactive DSL library for HTML. Datastar is a new library and framework that tries to kind of bridge a gap between the two. And so it gives you a global store of reactive signals that you can embed inside your HTML on reactive expressions that live inside the attributes and events that you bind in your HTML. Transclusions are also supported, but we'll get to that a bit later. Signals are on their way to maybe becoming a JavaScript standard, so at some point they will be included in web, and we'll be able to remove that from the Datastar code base. So Datastar can be used to write completely local applications pretty easily. Here I have a simple calculator, so I can insert content, I can insert numbers and do a calculation. How this works is that you have an input to which we data-bind-calc, which means that we bind a signal with the name calc to the input, and it will dynamically update the signal if the input changes and the input if the signal changes. We then bind an event handler with data-on-click to the every button we have here, and we update the value, we append the value of the text of the button to the value of the signal, which updates the input. You'll notice there's this DSL and data star to access signals, which is the dollar symbol followed by its name. You'll also notice that in data star, every custom attribute uses the data set standard in HTML, which allows you to write any custom attribute you want. You can also use a bundle to add a suffix to that so that you don't have any conflicts. And finally, the nice thing about that is that it's compatible with any HTML parser and validator. Now, finally, our equal button will still have an on-click event handler, but this time it will eval the value of the calc variable and just put that back inside the calc signal. Now, don't use eval in production, but for a simple calculator demo like this, it's perfectly suitable. If you play with this on the web, it very well might break. There's not much error handling I'm doing in this very simple demo. Now, talk a little bit more about DataStar itself. It started with the creator Delaney Gilliland that wanted to make HTMX more easily extendable. But the changes he made to the HTMX source code were not accepted upstream. And so instead of fighting with it, he decided to just start from scratch and write a whole new framework. Luckily, the end result is only about 5 kilobytes. And it is very extensible. So much so that most of the functionality is implemented as plugins. And so we offer a suite of standard plugins that bring up the weight of the framework to about 13 kilobytes if you activate them all. And there's an easy bundler on the internet to deactivate plugins on the fly and download a new bundle. So the DataStar engine itself, which is its core, handles signals and does dataset attribute parsing and expression evaluation. And it allows you to load new plugins, of course. But all the rest of the functionality is set up in plugins. And all the what we saw in the calculator app, that was all plugins. Notably, the attribute and plugins. We're going to go see the backend plugin now, which allows for the dynamic transclusions we talked about earlier. But first, we're going to talk about server-sent events. So a server-sent event stream is a standard part of HTTP that allows you to create a unidirectional stream of data from the server to the client and send arbitrary data down. It's very lightweight and efficient. There is a problem with HTTP 1, where the browser will only allow you to have 6 SSE streams per address per browser. But that is a browser-level limitation and not a server-level limitation. And it's not a limitation in HTTP 2. Since SSE is just HTTP, you can easily add a proxy in front of any HTTP 1 server to turn it into HTTP 2 and get rid of that limitation. So a server-sent event consists of separate new line delimited lines with a final line termination at the end to indicate the end of the event, which will empty the buffer on the server and send the event down to the client. It's all text, so like in my BSD presentation, I wrote SSC events in C and KSH. It was very simple. But events and ID lines are optional, but they just give more information on the event. They're useful when you're dealing with interrupts. Retry tells you how tells us the client how long to wait until to reconnect if there's a disconnection. And data is your actual data. So DataStar uses server-side events to receive data information from the server and will do specific actions depending on the event it receives. And every request in DataStar is a server-side event request. This it doesn't add much complexity to the base application, except you do need to know how to format the events, and for that we offer we built various SDKs. Because one another feature of DataStar, since you're sending stuff from the server, well, you can write your server in any language you want. I maintain the TypeScript SDK, but there are SDKs for Go, PHP, Rust, and other languages, and more people are adding SDKs all the time. I maintain an SDK test suite in Shell, so you can easily test the SDK you're developing on any platform. So the five types of server-side events in DataStar are merge fragments, our main workhorse, which we'll use to merge HTML from the server on the page. For that, we use Ideomorph, which is very efficient. It allows you to append, prepend, allows you to morph in HTML, just do like the minimal merging necessary. It allows you to remove fragments. Then you have merge signals. This allows you to update signals on the client from the server, and then the client will recalculate what it needs to. This is very useful when you start interacting with web components. Delaney does a lot of stuff with video games and dashboards, where he usually he'll have a web component that takes care of the rendering, and he just streams frames down in a signal and has that be shown to the screen. And it is very efficient, because surprisingly, the browser is very well optimized for just putting HTML in the page. And so it's very, very fast. And this is the shape of a DataStar event, a merge fragment. So we have the type of the event. We have the retry. This is in milliseconds. And then here we're giving two optional elements, which is merge mode and selector. So merge mode append will append the element to the end of the children of the element with the ID of main. And then the fragment is what the actual HTML we want to put in. If we're using morph, this is even simpler, since we don't have to specify the merge mode or the selector. We just have to make sure that the top level fragment has an ID that is present in our page. Right, so you can go see the testing suite, the SDK just got published on NPM. I consider it still a beta. I'm still, you know, fixing problems as I go along. Now we get into networked applications. So here's a quick example. If I enter what is 2 plus 2 3, well, the teacher starts answering and said, oh, your answer is wrong. Okay, well, let's update that to 4. Teacher is answering, the answer is correct. So what happened here? First of all, we bound a question signal to the input and an event handler to the send button. So when you see at and a word, that's an action plugin. So it's just it's a special function that has access to some of DataStar's internals and is usually part of a plugin. So get allows you to start a get request, and it'll be an event stream. The server receives a request and then parses the signals and then can choose to respond with either zero or infinite events. And it creates a stream, and then you see here where I make sure before that I remove any previous answers that were on the page, and then I merge in the new with after to insert after the form a new element. I wait a bit, and then I start adding more dots with every event until finally I check if the answer is right, and I merge in the correct response. And then we have to close the stream. So that's basically what you end up doing in DataStar. So I gave a link to Ideomorph so you can find out a little bit more how it works. I want to talk a little bit about a GUI concept called immediate mode versus retain mode. So a lot of single page applications operate what we call retain mode, where every part of the interface is retained in memory, and we only update the specific parts that need to be updated, and then change what is shown on the page. This can be very efficient in terms of the graphical calculations, but it's also more complex. It requires more memory, and is in my mind sometimes the premature optimization. You also, like the previous application we saw, was kind of a retained state application because you need to remember that you have already put in a answer and you need to delete it before you you insert a second element. So you need to handle interrupts and all that, and make sure your requests are idempotent. And that can be complicated to handle. Now, immediate mode is that whenever data that influences the view changes, you recalculate the whole view and you update what the person sees. This is more demanding in terms of graphical graphical computations, but it is it doesn't require a lot of memory. And depending on what platform you're doing this, it can be efficient enough for most applications. That's in Ideomorph on the browser is so efficient that we just recommend that most data science applications operate in more of a immediate mode state of mind. For that, we will explore command query responsibility segregation, CQRS. So we'll have a main view function that is called by a request and is in charge of updating the view whenever something it depends on changes. And then the client sends separate mutations requests that say, hey, the client did this or the client changed that. And then the view is recomputed in consequence and sent down the wire through the service sent event stream. I find that for like a little demo like this, reactive signals on the back end with something like alien signals. Works very well. But or sometimes maybe you really only, all you need is a file watcher. But for bigger applications, event queuing is really where you want to go. So this kind of reframes front-end development as a little bit more like a video game where you have an event loop that's constantly updating the view depending on stuff that changes. And it's very easy to get into real-time applications because you're constantly streaming down the updated view. And it's the client doesn't have to pull information. It doesn't have to ask for updates. So this presentation itself is a DataStar application. I've been moving around the slides with the arrows. So that's a simple event handler again. You can do multi-line scripts inside of data handlers. The slides themselves are simple HTML files. And a DataStar request is started whenever a new page is opened on the client, and starts a watcher that watches the files on the server. And if the files change, then it streams down an update, and the state of the interface is updated. I can show you. There's a video for people who are watching this after and don't have video. There is a video on PeerTube of what I'm about to do. So I have here my text editor opened on this page, and I can say add, I can modify text here, add a second smiley face, save, and we see appearing on a page in real time. I also, it's from that point, it's easy to start adding in more features. I turned this into like a live editing website where I have every HTML node is highlighted, and I can click on them and go update. Whoops, forgot about the, here we go. And add some text, save. The text appears here. And if I go update my my text editor, the text appears here as well. And it's now, well, it's a little bit, probably a little bit hard to see on the screen. But it's there. It's here. There we go. So that kind of stuff, that kind of use case gets pretty simple with DataStar when you've accepted a sort of like event-based mutation system. DataStar as a whole tries to make day two problems easy and simple. It makes cases like real-time updating, synchronizing state between clients. I could have, you'll see on the, there are links here at the bottom for a DataStar website with a ton of examples. And there's also a link to a drone game developed by Synadia Labs that does that has a web component game with a signal that's being updated by merge signal, and that allows, and it's pretty impressive how efficient it is. Try to open it on your phones because it does use motion control. So setting up work queues for heavy operations is like a easy second step with DataStar, since you're already separating your views from your mutations. And there are a bunch of problems that you often have in single page applications that are really not an issue in DataStar, such as oversharing state from the server on the client. You never know what information is going to become could become a security problem. So you generally don't want to overshare by default. And so like live updating access control and stuff like that, it becomes very easy with DataStar. And like I've said before, the performance is very good. There are examples on the website that show live stream the ASCII videos that are just like frames that are sent to the server, sent to the client and merged in real time. And they are very fast. So this is the end of my presentation. Thank you all for listening. I have a few links here. You can start us on GitHub, join the Discord, or ask me questions by mail or in person. It will be my pleasure to answer in English or French. Merci.
If you want, you have four minutes for Q&A.
Any questions?
Yes. So, first of all, it looks great. So that's really nice. I'm just wondering, with mobile devices and all those kind of things, it happens a lot that you disconnect or for some reason. Is there anything built in for mist defense? Is it fire and forget?
So the question was, what happens when there are disconnects in a situation like mobile, where it happens very often?
Yeah.
Well, the service event standard has built-in reconnection protocols, and that's part of the retry line in the event is how much time to wait before you retry, and it will automatically do exponential back off of the retries. Retries are a difficult thing to handle when you're in like a more of a retained mode, but in immediate mode, it's really not a question since you're always updating the latest state. Any more questions?
Okay, thank you, Patrick.